One of the most common analogies used in business is that when you are growing a team, you need to get the right people on the bus. But an even more important question is, are the right people in the right seats on the bus? Meaning, is everyone set up to succeed? Is every individual in your team set up to succeed? Are they actually playing to their strengths? Do they have the resources, the support, the leadership that they need to get the results that you hired them to get for your small business? Well, in today's interview with Latondra Murray, we are going to dive deep into how you can leverage the Strengths Finder to not only be a better leader to your team, but to understand how you can really truly set people up for success as part of your team. Are you ready to grow from stressed out solopreneur to confident CEO? You're in the right place. I'm your host, Rachel Cook, and I've spent more than 15 years helping women entrepreneurs sustainably scale their businesses. If you're serious about building a sustainable business, it's time to put the strategy, systems, and support in place to make it happen. Join me every week for candid conversations about stepping into your role as CEO, the hard lessons learned along the way, and practical, profitable strategies to grow a sustainable business without the hustle and burnout. Hey there, CEO. I cannot believe we're already at the final installment of this four-part series on creating an incredible culture in your small business, within the team of your small business. As I shared in the very first episode, this was a conversation that really came out of our conversations at the CEO retreat and continued happening with these different women in their time with us inside of the CEO Collective. And I love that I learn so much from the women inside of the CEO Collective. I don't ever claim to be a, you know it all expert at absolutely everything, but I am a lifelong learner. And I love anytime there is an opportunity for me to dive deeper into a topic, for me to have conversations about a topic and truly just get more understanding and more clarity about something, even if it's something I kind of already maybe had some personal experience with or kind of had some, you know, already had some opinions about something. It really solidified a lot of things to have these conversations. So I hope you have enjoyed the series as much as I have, and I hope you go find all these incredible women to learn more from them if you are at that point in your business, that tipping point where you really are starting to build that team and you need things to gel. You need everyone to not only be on the bus, so the bus being your business. Remember the analogy that is, this is the most common version, is you need the right people on the bus. When we kicked off the series, Tiffany and I talked about your vision is where you're going. Your values is the rule on the road, the rules of the road. So how you're doing what you're doing. And then your culture being like how everybody feels as they're together. What's happening inside the bus? And that becomes your culture. And another huge part of that is making sure that everybody is in the right seat in the bus, making sure that you have fully empowered every person in your team to be supported, to have clarity, clear expectations about what they need to accomplish, to know what results are responsible for, to have their own autonomy over the work that they're doing, and really be able to lean into their strengths and trust that they are going to make the right decisions in their role to get you the results that you hired them to get. So in the last episode, we talked with Kendra Tillman about using the Kolbe assessment, which is really kind of focused more on how people process problems and, you know, make decisions, what our first instincts are. But the Strengths Finder is a little bit different because the Strengths Finder really is all about your top talents so that you can maximize your personal and professional potential. So Latondra Murray is a strengths-based leadership coach for established entrepreneurs who want to create epic business results with a lean team. Latondra has coached 1,000+ individuals and 40+ teams in the areas of talent assessment, work-life integration, and emerging leadership. She is a certified personal and executive coach, as well as a certified Gallup Strengths coach with more than a decade of experience with the Clifton Strengths Assessment. Latondra brings 25 plus years of leadership experience in a large-scale technology-based corporate and higher education environment to bear in her coaching practice. She holds a PhD in industrial engineering and undergraduate degrees in electrical engineering and computer science. Latondra is absolutely incredible. I have loved having her as a part of the CEO Collective and hearing her insights, especially because she not only took my individual strengths, but we handed over all the strengths of the whole team. It was amazing to see her insights and hear the nuggets she had to share with us about how we have actually really done a great job with our team leveraging everybody's strengths and the areas of opportunity we have moving forward in our business. So I hope you really, really enjoy this conversation. Get into it. Latondra Murray, thank you so much for joining me today here on the podcast. I'm so excited to dive into all things strengths with you.
Rachel, thank you so much for having me. Likewise, I can't wait to get into it.
Well, when you first came into my world, I knew that we were going to be kindred spirits because I have always believed in leaning into what you are best at. And I think this is something that is a major shift in the world of leadership and small business and large business. Instead of trying to be well-rounded, it's more about having a well-rounded team, but keeping your own edge and standing in your own strengths and area of genius. So I'm really excited to have you dive into all things strengths. But before we get there, can you tell us a little bit about your own journey and how you found strengths-based leadership to be such a powerful piece of the work that you're doing now?
Absolutely. So yes, I have a background in engineering, education, and entrepreneurship. I worked as an engineer and a technical manager in corporate, and then I made a transition to a university environment as an administrator for a school of engineering. I managed a team, and I also taught graduate students. I really enjoyed professional development in both spaces, and that led to my pursuit of a coaching certification. In 2014, I completed my certification at the CAP Institute, and I was really thinking about how I could make coaching conversations more approachable. It occurred to me as I worked with students and I worked with my own coaching clients, sometimes it was hard to get into the discussion. Yeah. And I thought, hey, if we had an assessment as a foundation for the conversation, then we'd be talking about the data. Then we'd be talking about the results and the life and the feelings and the challenges could get layered on top of that. But we could start with the assessment. I'd taken the Clifton Strengths Assessment in my early 30s, and I'd really enjoyed it. I'd really thought it was a great tool. And I said, hey, here's something that I can major in. This is something that I can make my own. And so I started working with the assessment with both my individual clients as well as my graduate students. I did that for about 2 years. And then in the spirit of do no harm, I thought, okay, let me get trained by the folks who developed the assessment. And that's when I completed the Gallup certification. And I've recertified 3 times now. And so it's been more than 10 years that I've been working with the Clifton Strengths Assessment.
I love that. And I think it's so interesting that your background, you know, we can only connect the dots looking backwards, right? But you have clearly a very curious, analytical mind. Yes. And I think that is something that I very much connect with, like as we talk about my strengths, we're very similar in that regard. But it's so interesting because I think so many of us come to our work and we're always bringing these different pieces of the puzzle forward and always using new tools. So I shared with you before we hit record that I took the Strengths Finder probably almost 20 years ago and have continuously come back to it again and again and have used it with clients. And just like you said, it gives you a great jumping off point for conversations with your coaching clients, but also as a small business owner, it gives you a great jumping off point for working with your team. Yes. And that's what we're really going to dig into today, because while it can be great if you are a coach or you're somebody working on somebody's personal development or some sort of behavioral change or some sort of goal achievement, absolutely use something like the Strengths Finder with your clients. But when it comes to growing a small business, I think this is a huge thing we tend to struggle with. Because honestly, a lot of entrepreneurs have never really run a team. They've never really gone through traditional work ranks or gone through the corporate ranks, we tend to see a lot of entrepreneurs who the first time they're managing people is as a small business owner. So that's where I want to start the conversation today, because I truly believe that when we understand our strengths of our team and we build our team around the strengths that we know that we need, it leads to a culture that is different than where people are struggling because they're not in their strengths. And it leads to a culture of where we can truly hand things off because we know we're giving people things that are in their zone of genius. So we're talking about the word strengths over and over again. Can you explain more about what we mean when we're talking about the strengths and specifically this tool, the Strengths Finder?
Absolutely, sure. So when we talk about strengths, we're talking about your natural talents, the things that you are drawn to just inherently based on who you are. And so I think it's really important to note, this is not about strengths as others define them. This is strengths that you recognize and resonate with from within on your own. I like to say that leadership looks like you. And when I say leadership looks like you, I mean, it literally looks like you, what you have to bring to bear, what you notice in the world, what you've developed in terms of skills, the experiences that you've curated, but just what you naturally do best. And so the Clifton Strengths Assessment is really about helping people understand what they're naturally good at doing so they can do more of it. The strengths assessment may be familiar to some as Strengths Finder, by the way. I did want to mention that. It was rebranded into Clifton Strengths, but Strengths Finder and Strengths Finder 2.0, the book was a bestseller for so, so long. This work has been around for a long time, but I think many people are still just recognizing, hey, I can show up as myself. And in fact, the more me I am, the more I lean into my natural gifts, the things that just organically come to me, the more value I can add in my own unique way.
This was such a big shift in my own mindset, because I think anyone growing up in the 80s and 90s, we were told how much we needed to be well-rounded.
Yes.
And that was the conversation. Like, everything was about, you need to be a well-rounded student. You need to have a well-rounded resume. You need to have well-rounded interests and activities. And so this has completely shifted that paradigm. And it's actually shifted because now it's been so much of how I approach my own life and business. It's shifted the way I think about my kids' future too. Yes. I'm like, I don't care about you guys being well-rounded. I want you to do what you're great at and what you love doing, because I see the practical real life application of that now. I'm living it. So as we're thinking about strengths in small businesses, you know, you asked for our strengths. And so I gathered the strengths from the whole team. And I would love to hear your insights on that. Like, what do you see when you're working with leaders? First of all, what are the biggest things you see in leaders when you're looking at their strengths, or the things that, you know, pop off the most when you're talking to them about using their strengths in their leadership?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think when we talk about using your strengths to grow your own leadership, just fundamentally, how you can extend your own place as a leader, the first thing I would say is know your strengths, right? Like, so start off just by making sure that you understand and acknowledge what you're good at and maybe what's not in your wheelhouse. I think leaders can find creative ways to leverage their top talent, and it can also shape the kind of leader that they are and that they want to show up as in the world. I think to your point about, you know, being well-rounded, right? I think there are also stories that people get caught up in around what a good leader, quote unquote, looks like, or what a successful entrepreneur looks like. And I think this comes back to really acknowledging what you do well. And in many cases, we have talents, especially as entrepreneurs, we have talents that we don't even acknowledge. We brush them off. We say, oh, everybody's good at that, right? Like, that's not something special. Acknowledging and owning your genius is key as a place to start if you really want to leverage strengths to grow your leadership. So that's number one. That's the first thing that I would say.
I love that you brought that up, because I've shared on this podcast, like, I grew up with a family of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I didn't see myself being a small business owner, because my dad is the typical, like, influencing strengths type, very much an extroverted, can work a room, loves talking to people, is very much like big ideas, big energy, a lot of enthusiasm. And I thought that's what I would have to be like as a business owner. And so when it clicked to me that, oh, I can actually just be myself. Yep. I don't have to try to be that. I don't have to be the opposite of what I am. Because let's be honest, like, I'm super introverted. I'm not going to go around and talk to everybody in the room unless I already know who you all are, which is why I have my own events. That's just not who I'm ever going to be. I'm not going to be like a star on a stage. I'm always going to be happiest burying myself in research and putting together frameworks and
mm-hmm. yeah,
and that. So I think that is one huge thing, because a lot of us do have these misconceptions. And I've heard this, you know, just because my business name is the CEO Collective, a lot of women would come to me and say, I don't see myself as a CEO. CEO to me seems to be like a very, you know, stuffy boardroom situation. And I'm like, well, actually we can redefine that, and we can define it around what it looks like for you. We need all types.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. We need all types. And I think as I work with leaders, I hope that strengths and entrepreneurial leaders in particular, because to your point, I don't think there's a training ground for leadership when you're an entrepreneur. I think you often are, it's trial by fire. You're learning as you're going. And I think one of the important invitations that I hope is extended is entrepreneurs work with their strengths to shore up their leadership, is that there's also this ability and this understanding that certain things can be released, certain things can be dropped. And so what that looks like is, maybe as a solopreneur, you've done all the things and you did all the things because you had to. But once you step into your next level of leadership, there's this notion of you can release things. And in fact, you must release things, not only because you can't do it all, but because you're engaging talent that's just sitting on the shelf if you don't let people step up and do the things that they're good at doing. So letting things go as a CEO, letting things go as an entrepreneur, is really about stepping closer to the things that are for you and that are aligned with the unique value you have to offer.
Absolutely. So as I shared all of our team's strengths, like, first I want to hear, when you're looking at a team, what is it that you look for as someone who does this? And I know you love the research and you love the numbers and looking at all the different results. I mean, I'll have to put this snapshot in the show notes, y'all. She sent us like a little Excel grid of how the entire team breaks down. And it just made my brain so happy because it's color coordinated and everything. But it, to me, it was like, oh my gosh, I can see in a snapshot exactly why my team gels. I can see why we are working together so clearly, because we're very aligned.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that's exactly what I look for, Rachel, when I first look at a team grid. I'm looking for alignment. I'm looking for kind of the pooling, the opportunity where themes may stick together. I look for the emergent patterns that jump out. And I also look for the opportunity to support whatever is top of mind for the team at that point. So there might be key initiatives that are coming online. There might be things that are aligned with clients or whatever it may be. And we can look at the team grid to say, okay, how can this organization best support those goals? I really believe in the saying, use what you've got to get what you want, right? So this is not about gap analysis. A lot of people will start looking at the white space and talking about what we don't have, quote unquote. And there's just no room for that, right? Because it's about using what you've got to pivot into creating that outcome.
Okay. I really love that you said that, because I think you're absolutely right. A lot of us use these assessments, whether it's the strengths or it's the Colby, or there's a couple different other ones, and they'll say, well, who are we missing? And let's go find those people. But I think you have to be really clear about the purpose of your business and what you're here to do. So in our business, in the CEO Collective, we lead with strategy. We lead with strategy, systems, and frameworks. So 42% of our strengths are in that category, which makes sense. This is why everyone on the team is so aligned. That is, they all have to be able to wrap their head around that, right? If they're going to work with all of our clients. And being a more strategic team means that I know I can give everyone the tools and the frameworks, and then the team can go work on those with our clients, and they can manage those. Whereas maybe a team, if our team didn't look like this, they might not be able to use these frameworks and tools that I have as easily. Like, it might come a little harder to them. It might be harder for them to wrap their head around or to really understand not just a tool, but how the application of the tools work with individuals.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
I love that. Okay.
So I think it's important too to note, as I mentioned, the areas of alignment. So for example, when we look at your team grit, and this is just the top five, right? Yeah. I think I would see even more with the top 10 for your team. So just the top five, it's clear that strategic thinking is the jumping off point, right? So you have so many thought partners in your team, and that's how you get down as you navigate systems, right? That's how you move.
Yep. It's exciting times around here, y'all. When we get together, it is like strategy and systems and research.
Yes.
We are a very exciting bunch.
It's funny. I wrote down on I always take notes on these when I'm doing my analyses, and I wrote down dreamy wonderland of thinking and ideas is what I wrote down, because I'm sure this is exactly what it is.
It's exactly every call. It's great.
The other thing I noticed, Rachel, that I think is really telling is almost everyone in their top five has relator. You have a pool of relator. And I know you have relator in your top 10.
Yeah.
I don't know about the other person, but that relator piece really reflects how you engage with your clients, how you likely engage with each other, how you pull people in to places that can be very uncomfortable, I think, for entrepreneurs. You make it safe for people to show up and to ask questions. I know as a member of the CEO Collective myself, there is this very inclusive world created by the clients, but also by you and the extended team. It's a place where you can show up and be yourself and be vulnerable. And that's how you grow. And that's how you expand. And that's how you challenge yourself when you feel that you're held and seen in that way.
I love that. And I was really surprised too, to see that every single one of our mentors had relator in their top five.
Yep.
I was kind of blown away by that. Like that was very telling. And again, like it just felt so affirming, and it actually helped me because as I was thinking about it, I've been going through my own, as we all do, thinking about the business and the messaging and how do we articulate how we're different and what we do differently. And this is the piece. Like when I read the description of relator, it clicked. I was like, this is why we're able to create that space. It's because it's naturally how the entire team operates.
Right. Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's really great. And again, you know, I think it's about looking at what you have versus what you don't have. Yeah. I do want to also make the point that the Clifton Strengths Assessment is not what is considered a selection instrument. Mm-hmm. So it's not an instrument that you would give someone and then say, oh, if only you had Achiever in your top five, we would have hired you. Oh, you know, oh,
yeah,
just you missed it, right? Or whatever, right? You wouldn't do that. What you can do as you're building a team, though, is to think, as you mentioned, about your mission. How do you want to show up? What's the nature of the work you do and how you want to connect with your clients? And how might someone's strengths profile reflect their ability to deliver on those outcomes? How might they approach people? If they don't have a lot of relationship building themes, you might say, well, how do you typically engage with other individuals? How do you manage conflict?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and so the team that she is looking at, everyone who's listening, is primarily our mentor team, my director of operations, our mentor team, and then Stacy, who is our podcast producer, but also I think of her as like my marketing BFF because she and I go through everything marketing related. So it's very telling looking at the mentor roles that they are this strategic thinking and then relationships, because that's what we need in the mentor roles. They're the ones who are taking this work and then going to our clients with it. I would imagine if I dug into every single person who does more of the behind the scenes work, mm-hmm. we would get a whole different profile for those types of people as well.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think that's where we would see more in the executing domain, for example, right? Which I know is naturally a part of your wheelhouse, kind of in the second half of your top 10. We would see more purple. But I really think it's just an interesting way to think about what you're creating, how well the team aligns to that mission, and the toolkit that you have to get things done. You can always pivot from one domain to the other. And this is, I think, an interesting thing for a team, but also I would say for individual leaders. I often have individual leaders who do come to me, and influencing is the biggest category that people are worried about. Yep. Influencing is the category that makes people feel like I will never succeed. I'll never, you know, this person has woo and they've got command and they have all these themes that I don't have. And so therefore I'm not going to be able to thrive. And not only do we need all types, not only do we need leaders who major in all sorts of areas, the other domains, strategic thinking, relationship building, executing, we need leaders who show up in those other domains, but you can also pivot from one domain to another. So for example, if influencing is your fourth domain, it's likely that you use something else to advocate for people or to gain people's trust or to build rapport. And so not only do we need the differences, but you can influence in another way. And I think that that is one of the most important things that leaders can acknowledge. I would say, Rachel, for you, being a member of the collective, knowing how much of an ideas person you are, knowing how you process information and your mind just thinks on the fly in such an amazing way. It's always great to listen to our Inside the Collective calls and hear you coach people so quickly in those moments. That is part of your genius. And so your ability to ideate, your ability to think in the fly and to strategize, that's how you influence.
Yeah.
That's how you gain, you build advocacy for us as your clients, but also in the world.
Yeah. And I can definitely see, like I said, I'm not going to lead with the woo. I think woo is actually one of my very strengths. And I'm always jealous of those people because they're so magnetic to me. Maybe opposites attract. Maybe this is why Shannon, who's one of our mentors, is like one of my best friends because she's very high on woo. But I definitely see that. And as I've leaned into that more in my own business, like for example, the podcast, I always knew the podcast was never going to be like tips and tricks and shiny objects. It was always going to be, I'm going to, you know, influence by providing value, like very in-depth value. And same even with short form content, the content I've been putting out on TikTok or Instagram Reels, it's not going to be the fluffy feel good type of stuff. Like that's not what I'm ever going to lead with.
Yeah. 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 And I think there is a power, but also a vulnerability in acknowledging what you do well and also what's not in your wheelhouse. And so often I think leaders are nervous about people seeing them sweat or people thinking that they can't do all the things. No one is good at everything.
No.
None of us, not a single person is good at everything. And when we pretend, we just siphon energy away from the things that we really are outstanding at doing. We really rob our genius by trying to do these things that show up kind of as mediocrity, right? It's like, let it go and acknowledge it. And oh, by the way, there's likely someone else who loves doing the thing you hate. And so let them embrace that. Let them shine in that. And then everyone wins and clients win and results are epic.
I love that. So we've covered so much ground here. I think the biggest next thing I want to ask for you, you know, there's four domains that we're talking about. We've used this language a couple times. Can you briefly explain each of the four domains and then maybe also share a little bit about, you know, how you lead with those domains? If that's the domain that you're dominant in your top five or top 10 of these results, how does that usually show up in leadership?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first domain I'll talk about is executing. And let me just, I'll list the four domains and then I'll talk about each. So executing, influencing, relationship building, and strategic thinking. Executing is all about how you do things in the world. It's all about how you operationalize something and make it real. So people who lead with the executing domain typically like to check things off. They may be very laser focused. They may have an ability to kind of put their head down and just grind through and push through something. And so leaders in this domain typically get a lot of stuff done. They're highly productive. They're focused on making it real. The rubber meets the road, making something real. One of the challenges of leaders in this space is often that it can be hard for them to stop doing.
Sometimes
they feel a responsibility to make something happen when really they need to delegate it or they need to step away and let someone take ownership. But executing, when you're a leader in this area, you're getting things done.
Okay.
For influencing is all about how you advocate, how you share a message. I like to say that leaders in the space of influencing, it's almost like you're on the mic or you're on the stage.
Yep.
And so you're either crying out a message, or you're giving a directive, or you're waving and getting someone's attention. It's all about pulling people into a centralized message so that you can move them forward. And so influencing is a little bit different than executing, in the sense that people who influence aren't always directly doing the work, right? They might be, but they're not always directly doing the work, but they might have others that they're shepherding or they're leading. I like to say that influencing Wu in particular is kind of like the Pied Piper, right? Where you're playing exactly. little pipe and people, where are you going? I'm going with you, right? Like people just want to come along, right? You're compelling and captivating and bringing people along.
Yeah, they're the ones who get people fired up about big new ideas. Like they're the yes. ones who kind of are the catalysts for big ideas and big movements. I often find where they struggle a lot is the follow through. So I often have to tell those people, you're meant to get people excited and fired up. You don't have to be responsible for the follow through. You don't have to be responsible for holding their hand. Just keep people fired up.
That's right. That's right. And often people who lead with influencing this domain, they need to have someone to catch their ideas and operationalize it. They need to have someone who's going to make them real, because if you wait for them, the energy may not be there, or they may be drawn to something else. They may be on to the next thing.
Yeah. So they very much need a right hand behind the scenes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then relationship building is all about rapport between individuals. Yeah. It's all about how you see people, engage them, connect with them, support them, develop them. And so a leader who leads with relationship building is really going to focus on the people piece. And that may mean knowing their people really well, or it may mean checking in with them to make sure they have what they need. It might mean finding ways to specifically develop them and support their growth. But there's a people focus and a people orientation. And everyone doesn't always understand when people lead with relationship, people don't always understand what's happening or what's being done. And so sometimes I think those leaders can be misunderstood because they're so people focused. Others are like, well, what are you doing? Right? What are you doing with the people?
I definitely relate to that. I mean, empathy and relator are in my top 10. And we have so many in our team who are very relationship focused. When I work with clients who I can tell this is something that they're leading with is relationship building, these are the people I often see who really need connection with their clients. And when they try to shift towards business models where they are disconnected from their clients and community, they start to get really frustrated.
Yep.
So I tend to find that people who are in this domain as small business owners, they need more of the high touch business models in order to feel happy. Because the idea of having people buying something from them and they have no idea who that person is, it literally makes them crazy.
That's right. That's right. And I think it gets back to what kind of business are you creating and what kind of leader are you striving to be? It may mean that scale looks very different for a leader who steps out with relationship building versus one that leads with executing, or one that leads with influence. So I love that point, Rachel. I think that's really interesting and incredibly valid around what's going to work for you and what not, depending on your strengths.
Yeah. And it's one thing I think about when I look at out in the world and all the different examples we have. Influencing seems to be the dominant for some of the loudest voices in a lot of industries. And you have to look a little bit to find examples of other very successful small businesses who are just set up differently. Maybe they're going after the same result, but they're going to be very different. And I just want to reiterate for anyone, having a high touch business does not mean it's unscalable.
Right.
Period. Like there are plenty of businesses that scale with relationships in the forefront. So it doesn't just have to be an online course to scale your business. I think that's a huge myth that has hurt a lot of small businesses in the last 10 years or so, because we see a lot of people who in the relationship building domain who really, really love building a team, and they really, really love having interaction with their clients.
That's right. Yep, that's right. I like to say, you know, don't mimic, model. And so often people want to mimic what other people are doing and then they wonder why it's not working for them. Well, it's not in alignment. Model what really works for you. Stand in and lean all the way into what is natural for you and what lights you up, right? Like, why build a business that sucks the life out of you and deflates you because you're working in the bottom of your strengths versus the top?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yep. And then strategic thinking. So strategic thinking is all about the management of information and ideas. And so you can think about this in terms of knowledge. I like to think of the top kind of portion of knowledge input and context and some of those themes around knowledge. And then the bottom of that area on the table we're looking at is really about thinking and visioning and innovation, right? So being futuristic, you know, ideation, all those things. So if you are a thinker, a dreamer, an ideator, a person who loves to brainstorm, then this might be your leadership style. If you're constantly curating information from sources, or you love to learn new things and you like to share those things with your clients, or you like to infuse those things in your business, then that might be a place where you find yourself as a strategic thinker, a leader who steps out with that domain. Again, thinking about some of the ways that we can have misfires of strengths. Strengths can serve you. They can also sabotage you, right? We say that for all the strengths.
Yep.
For strategic thinkers, sometimes there can be a lot of shiny objects. Sometimes there can be a lot of, wouldn't it be cool if we did this, or if we did that, or if we...
A lot of research rabbit holes.
Yes. A lot of research rabbit holes. A lot of Wikipedia at 2 a.m., right? Like a lot of...
Don't call me out like that.
How do you think I know? How do you think I know?
I know because you do it too.
Like, exactly.
You watch the documentary and you're researching it at the same time. That is me.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
That is me. Well, I think it's so fascinating to dig into each of these. And I think it's so powerful. It's just so powerful. Like, being self-reflective is a challenge. Like, most of us want to understand ourselves better. We want to understand our team better, our clients better. And sometimes it's really hard. But like you said at the very top of this conversation, when you use tools like this, it gives you language. Yeah. And I think the language unlocks that understanding so powerfully. So I love this as a jumping off point. And I think everything we've talked about today, just understanding who you are, understanding the type of business you're building, what alignment in your team needs to look like. These are really powerful ideas and concepts. And we just barely scratched the surface.
We did. We did.
We just barely scratched the surface. So, LaTondra, how can people learn more about working with you in developing their own strengths as a leader, but also the strengths of their team as they're growing their business?
Yes. Well, I would invite everyone to take my free CEO style quiz. You can gain insight about how to best apply your natural leadership abilities for more influence and impact for yourself as well as your team. And so if people go to latondramurray.com/quiz, you can take the CEO style quiz. And that's a great way to find out kind of where you are, what you're working with, and what it can look like going forward. So come and find out whether you're the builder, the backer, the bestie, or the brainiac. I'll kind of tease it a little bit.
I love it. Well, I'm going to make sure we link all of those things up. I encourage every single person to go check out that quiz because I know you're going to walk away with some amazing insights and clarity. And LaTondra, it's been so great having you on the show today. Before we wrap up, like you mentioned, you've been a member of the CEO Collective now for, it's been at least 6 months. It might have been longer than that. I can't remember exactly.
No, you're great. You're right on top. Yeah, about 6 months. Yep.
But it's been so much fun to have you in. And I would love to have you share just a little bit with anyone who might be considering the CEO Collective, a little bit about your experience. So what would you just say to someone who's considering joining us in this community?
Yes. So my experience in the CEO Collective has been amazing, very supported. I think it's great to hear conversations from other entrepreneurs, people who have different perspectives and experiences. Some people who are full-time in their businesses, some people like me who are working a business while also continuing in a day job. A very welcome space for anyone in terms of where you find yourself. So I've also been navigating some personal challenges during this time. And I have to say, Rachel, speaking with you and with my mentor and with others, having that support, I think, is so much, it's so powerful and so impactful to be in a place where if you need to pause your business or if you need to slow down or if you're speeding up, you've got the support to take care of and center yourself first. I think that was just a delightful discovery on my part. And so I knew that I would learn so much from you and from the content and from the team. I knew that the other business owners would be amazing because you were creating that community. But I was delighted to know that my care for myself and my ability to focus on my own well-being and just my own peace was something that really mattered in this space. And I thank you for that.
Oh, I so appreciate that you shared that, because I talk a lot about the challenges of being a small business owner. I think a lot of people look for community and mentorship and they think, okay, I signed up. Now I just have to go pedal to the metal and just crank things out. But the reality is, like, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And part of building a sustainable business is learning how to receive and accept support. And sometimes that support is going to look like telling you to go on vacation without your laptop, Latondra.
Exactly. 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 And that has served me much more than just forcing myself through ever could have, right? So I just want to mention that as a beautiful benefit, you know, in addition to the great community, in addition to your amazing leadership and to the incredible mentors and team, just the focus on having a journey that's your own and also taking care of yourself as part of the recipe. So thank you.
Well, I really appreciate that. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Everyone listening in, make sure you go check out her quiz. We are going to have all the links in the show notes, and keep on listening because we have another great episode coming up next week.